So hi, everyone, and welcome to our February 2019 ERC Open Coaching, and it's for the whole group. And I'm excited to have you all here. And thank you for those of you who submitted a form in advance. I appreciate that. Knowing approximately who's going to be coming is great. And there's always surprises because not everybody fills it out. So I see that I know that Barbara submitted her a form for a lab. She wanted a lab. So we're going to go over that. I have it open. And Edie, who's not here, somebody else had a question that I was going to address as well. So I have it all up on the screen. So what I'd love to do before we get to that, though, is give everybody like a 30-second share to just say like one thing that you appreciate today, one thing that you're celebrating today, one thing that you did that you were planning to do that you're excited that you did, or just anything you want to celebrate or appreciate, or just like 30 seconds. Because what I feel is like it's so easy to get caught up in what's wrong, especially in the world. I know, Lynn Rose, you've been posting a lot about the whole, you know, vaccines and choices and the EMFs. And, you know, there's a lot of things, and we can get into a mode where we feel helpless, where we feel like we don't have control. So I really think it's a good idea to really keep focusing on the positive things. So we bring this positive vibration into this world that has a whole lot of problems, and we do what we can to try to fix it. So I would just love to start, and I'll just start in my corner. And again, for those of you who just joined, we're just going to go around and just a 30-second share of something you appreciate today. And it could be less than that. 30-second share of what you appreciate or something that you're celebrating that, hey, I finally got my 64 ounces or 120 ounces of water in, or I started making smoothies or whatever the heck it might be. Small, big or small, we take them all, okay? So I'm going to start with Diana, and I'll go through the people who are visible on the screen, and then I'll go through the people who are invisible. And if you can't talk, just let us know. Sometimes people watch this at work. So, Diana, hi.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to celebrate today that it stopped snowing for a little while.
Yay! That's a good thing to celebrate.
Snowmageddon is temporarily over.
Yay!
So I'm a 5-day reprieve because I get to go down to Twin Falls for another lab draw on Monday.
Oh, good. So hopefully it will be nice and clear and you just don't have to deal with all that crazy traffic. Great. Thank you.
I won't even tell you the bad news about why I have to go down there on Monday for a lab draw, but
we'll get to that later.
There's just been a lot of stumbling.
30 seconds is up, and we're only doing celebrations right now. So I'm going to be mean today. Okay. And I just want to keep it on the high, and then we're here. We have plenty of time to talk about challenges. Okay. All right. Gail.
Hi. Yes. So the sun is shining today. That's so fabulous. We've had so much rain. Yesterday was my birthday and we found a new vegetarian place in the city. After looking at Monet, it was just fabulous. And then we went to this vegetarian place. I can't wait to tell you about it. It has a view of the Golden Gate from this side, from the San Francisco side. Camden.
Yay. Thank you, Gail. And happy birthday. Yay.
Nice.
Birthdays are always something to celebrate. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to celebrate. I'm getting older. Celebrate that you're getting older. Like, you're still here to celebrate your birthday. Like, yay. Well, the alternative is grim, right? So celebrate day. All right. So, Barbara. Oh, wait. Let me unmute you. Or you unmute you. Can you unmute you? There you go. Yeah. Great. Hi, Barbara.
Hello. I'm just very glad to have my breath today. To focus on my breath is very essential today. And I'm glad that I have the motivation, also the energy to do gardening. And the last 3 days I have been digging and weeding.
Yay! I mean, really, it's warm enough over there to do that now?
Yeah, there were a few lovely days, like really sunny and kind of the mid-teens. It was really lovely.
Mid-teens is like in the 60s or something, right? Mid-teens to us here is freezing. Because that's, we're 32. You know, your 32 is our, whatever. Your zero is our 32, right?
Yeah.
And you can't just add it to it. There's some formula of 7/10 and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's somewhere in the 60s. So congratulations on that. Yay. And Debbie.
Oh, gosh. I'm just feeling good on different levels. I feel like this program, I'm grateful for ERC because it's so holistic. So I feel like so many different levels of healing are starting to come together. Hard to put in words, but I've been exposed to so many wonderful different areas through this program. And I feel like it's all gelling at the same time and I'm just going with it. So
beautiful. Yeah.
So really
great for sharing that. And I'm really glad because you have been around for a while and I've watched you grow. But it's been a slow process and you've been hanging in there. So I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
All right, so let me look at this list, and I'll come back to the coaches at the end. So, Jay, are you able to talk? I don't know if you are. If you are, just unmute your work. Yeah, wait. Okay, I think.
Come on,
okay, there you are. I see. Can you talk?
Yeah, I can talk. My continued celebration is good, great vision out of my left eye. Yeah. Right one still continues to struggle, but, you know, I keep out hope.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Jay. All right. So Barbara, Debbie, Jay, Jay, Janet. Okay, we'll come back to the coaches. Paula.
Yeah, I'm eating, but I'll stop for a second. I am celebrating lab results that I got yesterday that showed that my zinc level has come up a lot and my copper has dropped. This is excellent news for me. I've been trying for almost 2 years. So that's what I'm celebrating right now. Thank you.
Yay, Paula. Yay, Paula. Sarah, I just saw Sarah show up. So Sarah, whoops. I can't unmute you, so try unmuting you. There you go. Yay.
Hi, I am celebrating a really good improvement in the movement that I have going on in my shoulder that I've been working on since last fall. Oh, yeah. So when I first started, I couldn't lift my arm to breast height without it hurting on forward or sideways. And now... I'm probably about a foot away from it being straight up and down, but it's huge. And then going to the side, I probably got 2 feet, away, but it's really, really big. It's a big improvement and I'm just really pleased.
I'm really pleased for you. And you know, when we can't move certain parts of our body and we get used to like being in this kind of, everything's restricted. And so yeah, it's so great. It's so freeing when you have that back. Thank you, Sarah.
So freeing, yeah. It's got a ways to go, but it's coming along.
But it's going. Jeannie, I saw you earlier and now I don't see you, so I'm going to unmute you. Jeannie there? Whoops, it's not letting me unmute you. Oh, there you go. Can you unmute yourself? Are you in the closet? It's time to come out of the closet, girl.
I'm packing, so I'm celebrating that we're leaving tomorrow for vacation.
Oh, cool. Where are you going? Warm someplace, I hope.
We're going to Hilton Head, and it's not as warm as I wish it was. So
great. But yeah. It's warmer than Chicago at minus 20 winds, right. Something crazy like that.
Yes.
Yay. Or not, you're not Chicago, but you're up in, I always think of everything up Ohio, in the Midwest is Chicago, you know? Yeah.
So no, we are leaving really, really early in the morning. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try to pack while I'm doing
it. Pack while you listen. Good idea. Yeah. Multitasking works.
Exactly.
I don't believe all the stuff that multitasking doesn't work.
Just real quick note, my blood sugar has been staying low and I'm excited about that.
So. Yay. Yeah. Yay, Jeannie.
Yay.
Thank you. Okay, Sarah. Okay, so now we have some coaches. I want to hear a celebration from coaches too. So, Lynn Rose. There you go.
I've almost got my voice all back.
Oh no, it was gone. Good for you.
Yeah. So I've been resting a lot. I guess I've been the last week and a half. So.
Yay.
That's a celebration.
I usually think of those times when we lose our voice or we get a cold and we're normally pretty healthy is it's a little antenna coming up and saying, what you doing wrong, baby? When you going to sleep? When you going to rest? You're working too hard. So thank you.
Going to bed at 7 o'clock instead of midnight.
Good for you. Woohoo. Valerie just came on, and Janet. So Valerie.
I'm celebrating my first paying client.
Woohoo! Yay, and I know you're going to be great. You're a great gift to the world, and you're so smart, but you also have that wonderful, warm connection. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Janet.
Yes, good morning. Where I'm staying currently, there's a window in my bedroom that faces out across the Columbia River. And when I opened my eyes this morning, there was this amazing sunrise. What a delight to open your eyes to such color and beauty. I'm just so grateful. So blessed.
Yay. Thank you, Janet. Who else is on? Susan and then Lynn. Did I miss anybody?
All right. Here I am. I'm celebrating, I've had 3 sessions with 2 paying clients.
Yay! Again, another gift to the world. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
It's a lot of fun. I'm having a blast.
Yay. And last but not least, for sure, is Lynn. Trying to keep warm with her hat on. Unmute yourself. There you go.
Yep. I am celebrating and grateful for lessons that help me to understand who I am.
That's really great. Yeah, that's a biggie. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just on a call, and we were talking about our biggest superpower is the power of understanding who we are. So that's fresh in mind, and I'm like, oh yeah, all my lessons are there to empower me. Yeah,
I love that. And you know, it's interesting because I was listening in on a conference.
I think somebody else is calling that, maybe Karen, and I don't know if Ashley can hear us now, but Krishna,
is that Claudia? Go ahead. I don't see her listed. Why is Am I missing something here? And Karen Marion was on earlier, and I don't see her now. So Karen or Claudia, if you're on, unmute yourself and say something. Because I saw Karen. Oh, there's Karen. Okay, Karen. Phew. Karen, go for it.
Hi. Sorry, Dr. Eva Marie. I'm on another call at the moment, and I was saying I need to rejoin when I'm done with that one.
Oh, okay. Are you on the call with Claudia doing
that? I am.
Oh, okay, good. Focus on that. And I'll just say your celebration. I'm happy for you that you joined Claudia's program.
I think that's a good one. Yes.
Yay.
All right. I'll be back.
Thank you.
I'll be back. Thanks.
I was wondering why I was hearing Claudia, but I wasn't seeing her name. It's like, oh, how is she doing that? She's channeling. And I'm just going to say, based on what Lynn just said about being yourself, and I just went through and I've been, you know, talking to different people, and it was a marketing conference, you know, and it was really that the biggest thing you need to do in whatever kind of business you're in is just be yourself. Just be who you are. Don't feel like I'm not a buttoned up stuff shirt person who says all the right things at the right time and dresses beautifully and all that. I want to be me. You know, and I just want to be comfortable and be me. And I want to attract people like you who appreciate me for who I am, because I'm going to be able to help the people that resonate with me. If you were looking for somebody who was formal and spoke very formally, you're not going to find it in me, right? But what you're going to find in me is somebody with a big heart and lots of compassion, lots of, you know, detective work skills that I just really want to figure stuff out when it's not going, not like very, you know, strong boundaries or anything like that. So anyway, I think that's a really important thing, that we all tune in to who we are and what we want most in life. And just keep going along that thing. And if you beat to the drum of the, what do they say? You follow the beat of a different drummer, go follow it, right? Just go follow that drummer. Don't try to conform to what society wants you to be. And I taught my kids that from when they were little. Sometimes I regretted it because they didn't want to do what I wanted them to do. They want to do what they wanted to do. And that can be challenging. So thank you all for the great shares, because I think it really just helps us to connect and helps us to stay, you know, in touch with each other and what's going on. But it also helps us to set a tone of positivity. So even in the face of negativity in the world, negativity in your body, wherever it might be, when we can stay focused on what that outcome is and know that we're moving in that direction, and when we're not, ask for guidance. That way we're going to be happier, healthier, and we're going to get more of what we want. And I totally believe that. And everybody looks at me like, you have a charmed life. Of course you're happy all the time. Well, in reality, you know, there have been some big bumps along the way in the last few years. And I've managed to just kind of just keep the focus. And yeah, I've melted down a few times. But, you know, when you have teenagers and young adults and, you know, husbands and, you know, other things like that and mortgages and all that, there are bumps along the way. And it's how we respond to that, which is why I'm such a big fan of heart math and meditation and, you know, any tapping or anything that you can do for that. It's like, okay, I don't like this thing that's facing me. What is it that I can do to shift my internal perception of it? Because I can't change that guy out there. I can't change the weather out there. And I, you know, you've heard me complain, you know, more in fun than anything, but you know, I get frustrated when it's, you know, yesterday I was out there running and it was 78 degrees and sunny, and today it's 39 degrees and freezing and cloudy. And, you know, my body responds best. And it's a physiologic thing too, right? Where the body, when it's warm and when it's bright and sunny, there's just a different physiologic response. But we can't change that. I can't go out there and say, okay, God, I don't like this weather. You know, you'd better change it right now. I'm a pretty fruitless kind of thing to do. So the next thing I want to do is actually move into how can we support you. So we give priority to people who filled out their form and said, hey, will you support this? And so I have that. And I have the group call. And then I have, let me find it. It was right here a minute ago.
I put Barbara's individual form in your calendar.
Thank you. And I have Barbara's, I had already opened it. So thank you though. I had an unexpected little break in between, but now I can't find it. There it is. That's Paula's from before. I'll close that. And it was a PDF. Here we go. It's PDF. Okay. So what I can do is I can share my screen. And I'll go, is it okay to share my, I always ask that, so don't get tired of me asking that every time, guys. But I always am going to ask your permission before I share your labs or private stuff. And if you're okay with that, then I'll open it up for the group.
Yes, I'm okay with that.
You are. Okay, good. So share would be that one. Who has a Dutch test that you have the kit and you just haven't done it yet? Anybody? I know the gold pluses and golds got that. And I don't know if anybody's not done it yet. Debbie, did you do yours yet?
I'm actually doing it right now because I'm doing the cycle map.
Oh yeah, that's right. We talked about that because you've got, yeah, you, yes. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Good. So for those of you who haven't or who have, you always get new insights when you listen to me interpret or one of your coaches interpret somebody else's, because there's always, oh, that might apply to me. Oh, so if you have done a Dutch test and you want to pull it out right now, just pull your Dutch test out so that you have it in front of you and you can kind of see, oh, I have that same thing. And here's some new insights maybe, or insights that we've already shared, but maybe you forgot, right? Because usually the way the brain works is it needs to hear things like 5 times, 7 times before it actually, you remember it. And so people say, you're so smart. How do you remember all this stuff? I've been doing this for over 25 years. I've looked at hundreds of these things. So it's repetition, repetition, repetition. And what I shared with Paula the other day, I was listening to an epigenetics call a couple of nights ago with a doctor, an MD, who actually is here in Austin. And he was talking about some things, and I always think about my clients, and I don't remember where I wrote the notes, but I was thinking of Paula while he was explaining a certain case, but I couldn't remember which SNP it was, because he went over so many different SNPs. Which SNPs was that, and what was it? So I'm going to look that up, right? Because we don't always remember the things we've only heard once. This is why what Lynn's doing during these calls, she is created for you, Barbara, on your Google Drive, a private coaching. It's the template of the private coaching. And I know you don't get private calls with me, but it's going to be the same place where she's going to record anything that comes up like this during one of these coaching calls. So if you go after the fact, you'll see some of it. But I'd still recommend you take notes, because it helps when you add that kinesthetic part. So they show that, you know, maybe you remember 7% of what you hear only. But if you add a visual component, it adds some percentages. And if you add a kinesthetic component, which would be writing, you add it. So even if you never look at your notes, it's going to reinforce. So I'm looking at Barbara. And Barbara's 73. Okay. So your hormones, your estradiol, and your progesterone are at the low end of the postmenopausal range. So your postmenopausal, so we expect to see them in that purple area right here. But yours are at the very low end. So I like to see them, you know, kind of in the middle to high end. So we'll talk about why that might be. And your testosterone's pretty low. It's at the very low end of the scale. Now your cortisol, you're having a weird pattern. So if you look at the cortisol, these black lines are the pattern it should follow. This is the high range of the reference range. This is the low. And you start out dead bottom of the range, below, slightly below the bottom range. You go up to kind of maybe the third of the way up of the middle. Then you go above the range and then you go down. So the first things I usually like to ask here is, what's happening in that afternoon? Are there some stressful events happening, specific, you know, driving in traffic, a low blood sugar crash, and then you eat? Can you give me some insights there, Barbara, if there are any things that would cause that pattern? No? Let's unmute you and keep you unmuted. Oops, unmute yourself because it's not letting me. There you go.
Yeah, sorry. I cannot help there. I'm not working. Is this like for every time or only just when during the test time?
That's a great question. And so if you have like a typical day, it's helpful to have a typical day. Like if you started taking this test and then you got rear-ended, or, you know, somebody in your family had an emergency that you had to deal with, you're going to see a different pattern. So it's probably best to start all over again, right? If that happens. But if it's just
I cannot recall, you know, anything like major happening.
And this is just a normal day. So something is triggering an elevation of cortisol in that mid-afternoon, that later afternoon, actually mid-afternoon to late afternoon. So I want to know is what are you eating for lunch?
I do intermittent fasting, so I only have my breakfast round about lunchtime.
So around noonish?
Yeah, sometimes even 1 or 2 o'clock.
Okay, so what are you eating?
Well, at the moment, I don't think the case when I had the test done, but at the moment I'm having a green smoothie.
Mm-hmm. And that's it?
Yeah, I have 2 glasses.
2 glasses of green smoothie. Okay. Yeah. And when you were doing this, what do you think you were eating then?
Oh, gee whiz. It was maybe chia pudding, Well, it's really hard for me to remember.
Okay. So were there any grains or fruits or anything in there?
Grains, certainly not. Fruit, I measured that I could have a small piece of banana.
Okay. And so you measured your glucose to see?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. The only other piece I can think of is that there's something, some allergic type reaction to a specific food.
Uh-huh.
Right? That would elevate. And one of the ways you can test, you know, I know you have, I have you testing blood sugar and you've tested ketones, I think. But what you can do is take your pulse before eating and after eating. And if it goes up 10 points or more, then there's something suspicious in that meal that's causing a sympathetic response in you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's weird because we think, okay, we get rid of the top allergens, I'm fine. But you can have an allergy to banana. You can have an allergy to chia. You can have an allergy to kale even, right? And when I say allergy, it's kind of more of a sensitivity that your body's not responding to it. So your body goes into more of an alarm state and causes the cortisol to go up. And cortisol, of course, raises your pulse rate. So that's the kind of thing I would start monitoring. You know, measure things before. If you do you have a blood pressure cuff?
No.
No. So measure your pulse before you eat.
Okay.
Write it down and just keep records for a few days. And then measure your pulse right after, you know, kind of like you do with glucose. And then if it doesn't go up, you don't have to go for so long. But just kind of, okay, right after I eat, it's this. 20 minutes later, 15 minutes later, it's this. You know, half an hour later, it's this. It's pretty stable. No big deal. But if it's going up, it's creeping up. Like even if it's just a few points higher right after, then keep testing it regularly to see if it goes up much higher.
And okay. So I do one time before.
One time before. Yep. And then I would do it right after. If you tend to have a long period where you eat, like longer than half an hour, then you might want to do it somewhere in the middle just to see if it's raising it. So you could do it midway through your meal, at the end of your meal, and then depending if it's starting to creep up, I would do it more regularly. I would do it every 5-10 minutes just to see what happens to it if it creeps up. If it just goes up a couple of points, it's no big deal. But we want to see if there's anything in there that's causing a sympathetic reaction.
And how long after? You said 20 to 30 minutes after, well, and then?
I would say do it right after. Like as soon as you finish.
Only right after.
Do it right after. And then I would do it again, maybe every 10 minutes.
Ah, okay. Until when?
Until you see that it's not going anywhere. Or if it is going up, then I would even up it to 5 every 5 minutes and just see where it peaks and then it should start coming down. And so once it's back down to baseline, which is what it was before, then you can stop.
Okay.
It's a little bit of an investment, but you're only doing it with your lunch meal. It's one meal a day, but it's worth it because you get to see. And then if it does go up, then we're going to look at write a list of the individual foods and do that when you're doing this, what went into your smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we're going to look at piecing it out and trying to figure out which of them is causing it. And then you can do you can do it one of two ways. You can have, if you have 5 ingredients in your smoothie, then the next day you just do one of those ingredients. Or you can do it the other way, which is make the smoothie and just take out the ingredient and see if that makes a difference. And if you take out an ingredient and it goes up anyway, you know it wasn't that ingredient, right? And I would do it maybe 2-3 days in a row because one is, you know, a sample of one is never scientifically valid in any case, right? Maybe, you know, the dog barked and it startled you and that causes your pulse rate to go up or whatever. So do it 2 or 3 days in a row with that same lunch and see. And if it's consistently, every time I have that smoothie, it's going up. So that's one way to rule it out. So in the meantime, you know, I would do that first and see. And then we want to, if it's a food thing, then we want to get to the root cause. But what we really want is to have less cortisol at that time, right? So, you could be doing some supplementation like magnolia or phosphatidylserine, but that's not getting to the root cause, right? That could be what we'll do to help you as you start to get this, you know, figured out. But I think that if you just do the food checking first, that's going to be the best thing. So your free cortisol, I mean, it doesn't look like you're in like a stage 3 adrenal fatigue, but you're definitely in a stage 2. Because if I look at your cortisol, your production of cortisol, or the what's in your blood, actually, I take that back. There's something that's causing you to ask your adrenals to produce cortisol. Even though your adrenals, the total that they're producing is very low. That's the metabolized cortisol over on the left, on the lower left thing right here. See how low that is? That's the total. Yeah. Metabolized. Free is just a small fraction of it, but you're converting a lot to free because there's something your body's going, nope, we need to handle this. Nope, we need to handle this. And if you keep doing that, you're going to crash. Mm-hmm. Right? You're going to crash. So we want to find out what's causing that. What's the stressor? Now, it could be a gut infection, right? It could be, you know, some sort of parasitic or bacteria. It could be, you know, an inflammation somewhere that's being triggered possibly by the meal, you know, mm-hmm. by something in it. But it sounds like you're eating pretty anti-inflammatory kind of foods. Mm-hmm. Do you have any ginger or turmeric?
I have the first thing in the morning since quite some time now, a drink with turmeric root and ginger root and lemon.
Great. So let's see. I mean, you might want to do that again later in the day.
Yeah, I actually half it. I have one big glass in the morning and one in the evening.
Great. So you're handling, you're doing some things to handle, but we want to see if there's an inflammatory component. So start with the food. And then we'll see where that goes. Like, what is it in your body that's stressing you? And then, okay. Of course, we can help you. So I don't think I want you to do any phosphatidylserine or, it lowers the free cortisol. So that could be a good thing. But what we really want is to support those adrenals. So let me see what the rest of your hormones look like before we, you know, take full action. Mm-hmm. I usually skip these pages. I just go right to the pictures. I'm like a little kid. I like pictures. Your DHA sulfate is okay. And your testosterone, you know, it's in the range. There may be some liver congestion here. Just based on the fact that the way that your body's converting the testosterone, it's going to the 5-beta preference versus 5-alpha. And oftentimes that's related to liver, like some kind of liver. So we'd want to look at your labs, and I don't have them off the top of my head, but look at the liver enzyme part of your labs and see if any of those are elevated or close to elevated. Yeah, the progesterone's super low. So that could be something really helpful. Estrone, yeah, they're all low. Estradiol's the lowest. Your ratio is still not what I would like it to be. I'm looking at the estrogens. Your 16 is super, super low, and your 4 is higher. Do you do much in the way of cruciferous vegetables?
Yeah. A lot. I have a lot of broccoli, cauliflower, kale. What have you? I eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables.
Okay. So this is something, Lynn, if you can mark down in her notes for us to look at, is you haven't done your genes yet, right?
I have. I actually have.
Yeah. You have the reports?
I have the raw data, and I couldn't get...
Oh, right. You're the one. That's the one I want to say. Here's what you do. Upload the raw data to your folder.
Okay.
We will run the report for you, and then you can just pay us the $40 or whatever it is.
Okay. Well, I did today. I found the genetic genie, but that is obviously not so good.
It's good. It's a good starting point, right? Uh-huh. And you can do that for free, and you can do the genetic, the both of the genetic genie ones.
Yeah, but that is perfect if I can download the raw data yes. onto the Google Doc and then I pay you.
We'll just run it for you and we'll pay you. We'll give you a bill for it. I mean, we have your credit card on your account, so we can even just, you know, we can just even charge that way. I could just tell Scott to go ahead and, you know, charge this.
No, you have, I think, my husband's. Well, I can always give it to him.
Oh, okay. So tell us what you want to do and I'll just have Scott handle the payment part for you.
Okay.
You know, he'll ask you how you want to pay it. Yeah. And we may put a tiny bit of a service charge on just because it'll take somebody on my team to to go ahead and do it and I have to pay them. So maybe we'll charge you 45 instead of 40. So if that's
okay.
All right. But yeah, we'll get that for you. Yeah. I knew there was one thing that was an easy thing to do. Yeah, because if you look at this thing here, you have very little 16, and the 16 is super important for your bones. And when it's very low like that, you're increasing your risk of osteoporosis. So in the meantime, it may be a genetic thing, and when I see your genes, we'll know if that's your tendency. But in the meantime, I would be really supporting your bones. So the ways I like to do that, I mean, go to Eating for Bone Health. We're going to be doing that in the Body Freedom next month. Starting tomorrow, one of the sessions in there is Eating for Bone Health. But you can just go in there, go into the diet piece, and go to the Eating for Bone Health page.
Mm-hmm.
And that Eating for Bone Health will talk about the variety of nutrients and foods. One of the things you can do since you're doing a smoothie is get some nettles and alfalfa and horsetail. With the horsetail, you want to take a couple of teaspoons of it, put it in, hot water, boiling water, and allow that to make an infusion, like a tea. You can even just do it overnight and that'll get really strong. And then you can put that instead of water as the base for your smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get some nettles, grind them up, put them in your smoothie. You can get some alfalfa, oat straw, grind them up, put them in your smoothie. And those are really strong, lots of silica, lots of calcium, magnesium, and all the things you need for bone health. So that's a first start to protect your bones.
So if I find a powder online, a little powder I can use that?
Yeah, I usually get it in their little tiny, they're like flakes instead of powder. The powder does oxidize faster than the flakes. So I tend to like to get it. And like Mountain Rose Herbs is over here, but I'm sure you have an herbal dispensary there you can buy from. And it usually comes in little flecks, like looks like basil or something like that, one of the herbs, not powder, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So I usually put a small amount in my little coffee grinder, or I stick Vitamix and I just grind it up and I just have a little bottle of the powder. So I'm pretty picky and I like things to be as fresh as possible. So that's what you can do.
You mean fresh? To put them fresh in the meal?
Oh, you have access to fresh nettles. Yeah, you can put that in. And the other thing you can do, what I find is in the Vitamix, if you don't powder it first, you end up just with lots of flecks and it makes your smoothie kind of, because they're too small to really break down all the way. Like you put a big chunk of ginger in there, it gets broken down because it's big enough. But when you start with the flex, that's just in me and maybe it works better for you. But if you don't want to take that extra step, just put the flex of it in there. I think I started powdering it because I also used it as a seasoning powder. And it doesn't have any taste, so it's not really a seasoning. But I would sprinkle it on my salad or sprinkle it on my veggies. So you could do that as well. But like nettles is a good one if you blend that up. It has no taste, but it adds so, so, so much nutrition. Very easy to add. Okay. And then the 4 is high, probably because the 16 is low. So when we see your genetics, you can see right here, we want to see if you have this CYP3A4. And I'm going to just do something real quick. Lynn, would you do me a favor and just do a Google search and look for foods that increase the 16-hydroxyestrone? Okay. And then there's things like, I know you're so pure. That's why I'm digging in this, because I know you're so pure with your diet that you're not eating hydrogenated fats. You're not take in Prilosec or any of that stuff. You're not doing the stuff that causes more of the four. So what is it that you are doing that's creating that? And is it genetic? Right. But in the meantime, protect yourself, right? Keep eating the cruciferous, get some broccoli sprouts, add them to the smoothie, and then do all the things we just talked about for bone.
Everybody? Yeah, I add sprouted broccoli powder to my smoothie.
Oh, you do already. See, you're already doing so much of this. Your methylation is actually looks fine here, and we'll see if there's any other methylation. You know, it's a tiny bit low, but very close to center. Very close to center. Okay, so what causes this? CYP1B1. Yeah, we'll look at that. We'll look at your 1B1, your 1A1, and your 3A4. Those are the three we're going to need to look at. You can probably get most of those if you do the genetic genie detox report. Okay. Yeah, and your cortisone and cortisol are pretty much the same. These are what I want to look at. Let's see, within range. So, are you having any trouble sleeping?
No, only if I'm worried about something, then I might wake up in the early morning hours and not being able to go back to sleep. But that is only occasionally. Normally, I don't have a problem.
Okay. So your melatonin's in the slightly low end of the range. Not in the way that I would have you supplement with it, but I know it's maybe hard most of the time when it's cloudy and cold, but to get outdoors before noon or even just when you first wake up would be great, and then face towards the sun for about 5 minutes. And that stimulates the melatonin to go down during the day, and then it usually helps to raise it up at night. And then the other thing is to avoid the blue light at night, you know, avoid being on the screen within an hour of going to bed. And even dimming your lights in the evening, right? Because if we look at what creatures developed, right? We didn't have electricity. We didn't have this. And we went down when the sun went down, right? And so after the sun goes down, if you're at home, just dim your lights a bit so that you don't have this melatonin. It doesn't depress the melatonin. So it's more of a preventative thing. You're at the low end of the range. You're not having trouble sleeping. I don't want that to get worse and then have you develop that. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sun is a problem here.
I know it's a problem there. Now, the other thing that helps, and it helps in a lot of people who live in places where sun is a problem in the winter, is to get one of those lights. There's just a little bank that you get. I think that Dr. Furman sells them, Mercola sells them, and it's the UV light, not the, you know, the ones that are going to hurt, but they're the full spectrum light that you can have around you, and you can just have it at your desk, you know, and wherever you're working, and that helps to stimulate the melatonin. But don't use that past 6 o'clock or past when the sun goes down, but you can use it earlier in the day. It helps to produce serotonin as well. I mean, your serotonin metabolites are fine. Your dopamine's at the slightly low end of the range, but I don't think it needs to be looked at this point. Things like vitamin B6, but B6 is within range. Your B12, your B6, your glutathione, all these numbers are within range. So that's all really good. This is actually really, really good. You don't have anything out of range.
I'm taking liquid vitamin B12.
Yep. All this is looking good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No.
Great.
Well, it's a lot to take in. I understand that I have to check out why
the cortisol is going
up. Cortisol is going up. And to see what the stresses are. You said that it could be inflammation, but also parasites and gut infection. Mm-hmm. Should I check any of the parasites?
Let's do this, but let's do the food check first, because if it's easy to identify a culprit.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and you go, whoa, my pulse just went up 30 points after I ate this whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do it then, and then, you know, if it's a food that you're also eating at dinner, what time do you eat dinner?
Mostly around about 6-ish.
6-ish, okay. And then it goes back down in the evening. So, yeah, I would be looking at all that and making your list. And then we can, you know, just bring it to one of the calls and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So who else? Let's see. So we had Claudia had a weird question, but I think it's more for an EPT call. Gail... You didn't have any questions, but you're here. Edie had a question, and did Edie show up? No, she didn't. I'm gonna post the answer to Edie's question, and we can just tell her that it's here. But so, what are practical ways to change ingrained thinking patterns and reactions? And I think that that's a challenge, right? We have this thought process, and I think Lynn's going to chirp right in. I was just going to say, Lynn can probably talk about this better than anybody, because it has to do with really working on some of those old traumas and stuff and patterns. So Lynn, go for it.
Actually, what I was going to say is you will really want to listen to Drina's talk on Monday, because it was all about your thoughts, what you say to yourself, and how that affects the neuroplasticity of your brain.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Awesome. There's so many things that we get, and retraining, you know, HeartMath helps us to retrain some of the responses to stress, so that changes it. But a lot of the reaching for coffee or, you know, donuts or whatever else you reach for whenever you're stressed, that's a retraining. And I know the work that Laura Fine does and some of the other coaches in here. Right. I don't know if any of you guys that are in Laura's program, like, well, a lot of you are, Janet and Lynn Rose and Valerie, if you want to add anything to that, like based on what you've learned through that process, if you can give her one or two tips for that. But I think listening to Drina's call on Mondays.
Drina's call, and then I'll just put what I learned from Laura is to look at what you're doing with wonder and curiosity. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I'm thinking this. I wonder why. You don't apply judgment. Right. It just is. It's a part of your story. Huh, look at that. So that's my sense.
Yeah, and the other thing is to really look at just brainstorm, even just going into your left brain and sitting down logically and saying, what are some other things I can do when I get into this emotional pattern, right? Of self, like I know for Edie, she's just so smart and she's just such a perfectionist and constantly berating herself if she's not perfect. So there's a book I just started listening to. It's called The Imperfectionist. And some of you may want to, it's a quick, easy listen. I like to listen, but The Imperfectionist. And he's talking about, I haven't gotten very far in, but I really like it so far. Because so many of us are perfectionists, right? And it's like, just let go of the perfectionism, right? But that's not so easy to do. So how do you do it? And he has these things called mini rituals. And like, okay, you want to exercise. And you don't start because you don't have the 45 minutes to do this perfect workout. Oh, tell yourself you're going to do one sit-up a day for the next week. You know, simple stuff like that to just get the little baby steps going. And I haven't gotten that far in, so I can't say for sure, but it was a little, you know, cheapo book on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle or you can get it in the book form. So those are ways to do it. But yeah, definitely come to this. And can we, Lynn, can you just make sure Barbara has a link so she knows where that is? Or Barbara, you may already be savvy enough to know to go to your Google Drive and you'll see the folder that Lynn just created. It says something like private coaching with Dr. Rita Murray.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And if you have any trouble, post on the Facebook group.
So is this book called How to Be an Imperfectionist?
How to Be an Imperfectionist, yeah. Yeah. It just, when it comes up on my screen, it just shows the word imperfection is big and the how to be is little small letters above it. But I listen when I run because I'm a recovering perfectionist too.
I am certainly too.
Yeah. We all have a tendency to be. All the people that come to this point, you know, I've got to do it perfectly and I won't do it at all if I can't do it perfectly, right? And we're afraid to take action because it's imperfect. And it's just a lot to get by that. And I've really done a lot of work with that. And so I'm like, okay, this isn't perfect, but people need it. I'm just going to give it to them. And yeah, there might be still some things I'm going to perfect. If I was waiting for all my programs to be perfect, like, oh, it's exactly the way I want it to be before I put it out there, you guys wouldn't be here because you'd still be waiting. Right. So I just decide this is good enough for now. It's going to really help a lot of people. And they could go, oh, I can improve that here. Oh, I can make this better here. And then I just make version 2 or 3 or 4. These ERC things, the body freedom, they've gone through lots of iterations and there's still more I want to add, take away. I research, but it's helping you guys a lot. So I'm just going to be an imperfectionist and put it out there. So my 2 cents. Anybody else want to add? Valerie, did you have any thoughts for adding on that before I move to the next one?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, I think that's it. So who, we took care of all the questions that came in. Who needs help, has a question, wants some support? Okay, Debbie. Unmute. There you go.
Actually, it's a fairly quick question, but I'm going to be getting ready to do the labs that the ones that are part of our bonuses. The
yep. Lab.
And I also want to add on to there, I'm curious about the advanced lipid
advanced yeah. profile
because I'd really like to know about the lipo A and all that.
Yeah.
So I know that the forms that are the tests that I already have the rec for include like a basic, you know, lipid panel or, you know, the regular lipid panel. Should I add on just the lipo A or would it be helpful to add on the full advanced?
Well, have you ever had issues? Do you have any family history of heart disease, first of all, hypertension? Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would. Because you want to look at the lipid fractionation.
Okay. So the advanced has a benefit then rather than just doing the lipo A.
Yeah, it does the lipo A, but it also looks at the particle size, the buoyancy of each of the particles to see, you know, if you have high LDLs or relatively high or slightly high, but they're all like these, you know, big fluffy particles. They're not going to be at risk as much as if they're small dense particles. So yeah, I would add it on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is doing things like homocysteine and other inflammatory type markers good to do when you do an advanced lipid panel?
Do they include it? They don't. I thought they included CRP. They don't include CRP and homocysteine. And our report covered hemoglobin A1C. What else did you get? Hemoglobin A1C and...
I think the CRP, but I don't think the homocysteine.
Not the homocysteine. That might be a good one to do. You know, it's a good thing to do as a baseline just to get it. If it's not elevated, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, right? And if it is elevated, then it's a good thing, especially if you have abnormal results. If you have abnormal results on the lipid panel plus elevated homocysteine, that's more of a risk. If you have normal homocysteine and the off lipids, it's not as much of a risk. And if you have elevated homocysteine and normal, that's less of a risk, but still they all need to be addressed. But it gives us some information. It also, the homocysteine will give us information about your B6, B12 and folate status and whether those are in the right range. Cause it's very easy to shift an elevated homocysteine. Very easy. It's amazing how easy. And medicine has even caught on to that. Like they don't do all this elaborate nutrition because it's like so complex and all. But we find that if you get a good doses of B6, B12 and folate, it brings down the homocysteine within 2 to 3 months. You redo it and it's fine again.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would add those to it. Thank you, Lynn. That's great.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Great.
Great. Thank you. Who else? Who else has questions, comments? We're all good. Diana, you had something you started to talk about and I said, oh, we'll catch you later when we're on to that. So go for it. What's up?
Oh, I actually wasn't going to go into it.
What's that?
I was mentioning only because I didn't want to go into it. Just run into some issues. There's a lot of bumps in the road. You know, I got a little graphic on my Facebook page, and it's got the little line with the guy riding a bicycle up the hill to the finish line. It says, your plan.
Yeah.
And then under it has God's plan, which is full of bumpy valleys and hazards. Well, it's on my Facebook page right now. So that describes the last several months, and it hasn't changed yet, but it's okay. And I'm going ahead anyway.
You're going ahead anyway. And you're going back to get some more tests on Monday, doc?
The one that I had drawn in the first week in February that I need for the hematologist, they destroyed them, so I don't have them. So I have to run back down tomorrow, but...
So it's not that they found anything. Well, I'm saying this is good news, right? Because I was thinking, oh, my God, they found something really awful and they wanted to go for more tests. It's just...
Oh, I'm sure there's going to probably be more tests after this one, but first I have to get this one done.
Lordy, lordy. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to drive 370 miles round trip for a 5-minute lab draw. 2 tubes of blood that were drawn a month ago that should have been the results.
And there's no local station in your town that you can have them ship off. No. Oh. Guys, living in the boonies, it's tough. I drive 10 minutes to get to a local lab station.
That was the other fun thing we had last week was I finally got my doctor's data, parasitology times 3, and the H. pylori had 2 different companies' boxes and did the poop test. And, yeah, trying to get them shipped out of here was a nightmare. Literally had to send my husband out into the road to flag down the FedEx driver because FedEx refused for 2 days to come up here and pick that up. And they're supposed to. Yeah, that was a good one. The UPS one, we did a workaround. We actually used our local driver to take it to the shipping place that's 60 miles away.
So here's the thing. So all the bumps in the road are like the day-to-day life stuff you have no control over.
Right.
So you just keep having a good attitude about it and know that, that's going to keep happening. And
oh, yeah. No problem.
I choose to live in this amazingly beautiful place, but everything has its, what do they call that? The two sides of it, right?
Exactly. The little bumps in the road. And it's like, if there's ever a next time, then I'll know that there's possibility of shipping issue and I just take care of it in advance and come up with some other options. So Dr. Data actually was able to track it down. It did actually make it. In time, the FedEx guy wasn't even going to take it because it wasn't the right guy, but we begged him and he took it ahead anyway, and then for 2 days the tracking number wouldn't show up in the system, so I figured, well, it might end up in a garbage can somewhere.
Ouch.
I called Doctor's Data and they were really wonderful about it, and I was afraid I was going to have to do the whole thing all over again, but fortunately it did arrive.
And that's not bad if it's a pee test, but those poop tests are really...
which ended up taking 5.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time and energy. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you got it resolved, and I can't wait to hear it. Yeah.
I have a great sense of humor, and yes. Thank God it's not snowing right now. The sun is coming out.
Yay. You know what I'm thinking is, like, wouldn't life be ideal if we can live in these gorgeous places in the summer and in the spring when they're beautiful, and then just, like, be magically transported to a tropical island for 3 months during the winter?
We have a lot of people that live in this town that do that in the winter. We call them snowbirds.
Yeah.
They head out for winter and they don't come back until about May.
That's awesome. I know some people come to Texas to do that, but it hasn't been very amenable to that this year.
Yeah. And it's not a problem. We love it up here, even in the wintertime, but when you do have a medical emergency.
Well, having anything, it's a logistical nightmare. Yeah.
It's a logistical nightmare at times, but it's worth every minute.
But it's beautiful, the pictures you posted. So thank you for sharing that.
So we'll be asking for road fares again on Monday, and then following week for the doctor's appointment to get the results. And hopefully they'll get them in time.
Yeah, it's too bad they don't have some technology now that you can draw blood and, sit in the office for 15 minutes, go have lunch or whatever for an hour, and they have the results back right away. That would be cool.
We have a place, and that's where we got them drawn the last time. There was a food bar in the insurance that nobody found out about until yesterday.
Oh.
The insurance company refused to pay for the test. So So they did, the sample was destroyed after a week of waiting for authorization.
Oh, that was it. Okay. So you got that handled. And
the prescription I took in with the doctor's, the doctor's order. So it was a total foobar. It shouldn't happen. But it did, and it's okay.
Great. I love your attitude. Just keep up the healthy attitude, because that's really big and important. Thank you.
There's times when I sit and want to cry, but it only lasts a minute or two, and I just go, it's all
right. Well, that's a natural reaction, right? We're going to want to do that, and we're going to let you do it. Cry, you know, get that, let that process, and then go, okay, now what? Right? If something crazy happens here, I scream. I don't cry. I just go, rah, 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 okay. I've done that and gone for a run, and my husband will say, what are you going to do about, are you better from that, whatever that problem was? I'm like, oh, what problem was that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just went out for a run in the sun, you know, I'm good, I'm fine. We just have to have our ways, our outlet ways, but that we don't carry it.
Right.
Through.
Yeah. Right. And there was an actual blessing in disguise in the whole thing, is that I had two different appointments with two different hematologists, and I was still hemming and hawing about which one I was going to, one's a little closer and the other one's a little further, but well, this just took care of the whole problem, because the labs that got all screwed up and disappeared were the ones from the one that I was about ready to drop. And this was like, okay, well, I guess that's the final straw for him. Whew, end of.
Done.
Good. So yeah, it was kind of like,
You just said God makes a different plan, and that was your sign that this wasn't the right doc, right? Not the right office to work with.
Exactly. And that's what I basically got that impression right as I was on the phone with them, you know, trying to figure out why the sample was destroyed and how it got lost or whatever. But it was like, really? And I just had this vision in my head. I literally saw this flash of a big old sword coming and just swiping them in half. I was just like, okay, well, I guess that decision's made.
Yes, it's made. Yeah.
As soon as I called the other doctor's office, said we're not going to have the labs for next week. What are we going to do? They fixed everything. And that's it. Within five quick phone calls in an hour, it was all arranged for.
That's what you want. That great customer service. Putting your needs first rather than, there's just, you know, mechanical, you know, stuff. We didn't get paid for it. We're not going to run it. Thank you for sharing, and we're going to send you lots of prayers and blessings.
Because of the weather problems, they said, well, if you can't get here on Monday, you know, just give us a call, or, you know, you could call us from the road or whatever you need to do, and we'll rearrange it. So, I mean, they're going to accommodate even our little road conditions. So
good.
They're really flexible, and it's right in the doctor's office. I go right into the same place where I'll see the doctor, and then the labs will go directly to the doctor. So there's not going to be picking them up from one place and taking them to another. And all that other stuff. So I just did see it as an absolute blessing. So after, it's just God's sense of humor, you know, throw a few roadblocks and trip her up a little, see how she handles it.
I think that the roadblocks are really things we learn from. Absolutely. And when we stop and look at what's the lesson, you can't always do it in the moment, right? You need to rant and rave and scream and shout, whatever. And then you calm yourself down and go, okay, what did this do? And so many things that like that have happened to me that I'm frustrated about. And I go, that helped me to make this decision. Or that's telling me, like with Lynn Rose getting on and talking about her, you know, not having her voice. It's like, what's the lesson here? Like I had something happen to me once many years ago. My son was 12 and he's 25 now. So 13 years ago. It was long time ago. And I was like, I got so much to do. I can't get done. And I said, I'm going for a run. I don't care. I'm just going. I said, I just wish that I could lay on the couch and do nothing for just, you know, a few hours. So I go out for a run. I was planning to do a 10-mile run. And I went out and I got in the woods. There's this really cool trail. I got in there and I was going downhill and I hit a rock and my ankle went out from under me and I heard a crack. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm laying on the ground in the woods. And the nearest house was probably, you know, it wasn't that far away. It was, you know, but I could see the house up there. And I was heading down to the creek and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I didn't have my phone. That taught me. I bought all these real cool running shorts that have pockets in the side that I can stick my phone in. So I always have my phone. I didn't have my phone. I'm like, what am I going to do? So I start shouting. It happens to be, turns out that these people that lived there were in their 70s and 80s or whatever. Maybe their hearing wasn't so good. They weren't hearing me. So I'm laying there screaming and shouting and nobody's hearing me. So I got up and I took my, well, I, first of all, I took my shoe off just to see. I couldn't get my shoe back on because it had swollen up so big. And I hobbled my way up to their backyard. So now they see this straggly looking girl with, you know, girl, woman. I still think of myself as a girl no matter how old I get. But, you know, with the hair kind of matted and, you know, I'm like, can you help me? They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I told them what happened and they got me in their backyard and they laid me on a recliner chair and they got some ice and they gave me ice and they said, who can we call? I said, please call my husband. Gave him the number. Fortunately, he was home. That was before my kids were driving, so it wasn't even like we could get one of the kids to come get me. And they told him, and he came and got me. So I got to go home, and guess what I did? Lay on the couch and do nothing. Right? So when you ask for things, wish for things, make sure you're really clear. I wish I could just lay on the couch and do nothing and have all my body parts intact and not do it because I'm sick or injured. You know, I just said, I just wish I could. Well, what's going to get me, who's busy, active? I could have chosen to do that, right? But I was so like, I got to get this done because we were leaving on vacation to go to Alaska for an Alaskan cruise 4 days later.
Oh.
It wasn't just break. It was just a bad strain. I went in and I got on the boot. You know, I had the boot on and I eventually, by the end of the trip, it was a 3 week trip, was able to hike, like walk, and I was walking a bit. And so we went on this hike and I'm walking really slow on the way out. And we got to this glacier and I couldn't do like a lot of the stuff there, but I did it. But on the way back, I just started walking at a more normal pace, a faster pace, faster pace. Guess what? Nobody kept up with me. So I was like, oh, I'm healed. Yay. Yeah. And I was leading the pack. I'm like, okay. Anyway, like be careful what you wish for and choose things. Like choose to slow down. Choose to just lay on the couch for an hour and do nothing, right? Whatever that work is, it's going to get done, right? And just like don't keep pushing yourself. So, lesson that I'm learning more and more every day. So who else? Something to share? Something to... No? Nobody? We're good? Janet, you opened your screen up. Is there something you want to share?
Oh, just interested about the mind and how it works. And with all the knowledge that we talk about with our neurotransmitters and how we can actually change and regenerate new patterns within that, it does take a little bit of time, but we can. We do have control. We have more control than we think.
Yeah,
it is a process, and it takes a while.
Yeah,
but all of these things can be changed. And like you said, recognizing is the first thing, to recognize that I'm thinking this way. And oftentimes, I will ask friends or family to make comments about how I talk and how I perceive things. And it's shocking. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was saying, I didn't know that was a negative thing that I was speaking. So it's interesting. The things that we do so commonly on a daily basis that is really negative in our general living.
Yeah, and we've learned that. Like, we didn't come out of the womb with negative thinking, right? We picked it up. We learned other people's beliefs. So most of your beliefs, they're not yours. They came from other people and you picked these up along the way. And many of your negative beliefs and your limiting beliefs happened by the time you were 6 or 7, like, cause it's the way the world was and the way the world was presented from you. And there are strategies for letting go. We have a strategy. We'll do it this month in the Outlook pillar on letting go of limiting beliefs. And I'm going to really take you through an exercise of that during our call. I think it's next week or the week. I can't remember. The week after. Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to actually a 3-day event called Mind Hacking, and Lynn's too. And there, that's where, like, I haven't really done the online program part of it yet, but
it's amazing.
Is it?
I'll just share one little thing from so he takes you through the 7D piece. It's taking me longer because I'm really just absorbing so much. The one thing that has impacted me is that our limiting beliefs are decisions we make. So it's not, you know, we talk about our core beliefs or whatever. What they are is we've made a decision at some point in time, and this has become a belief. This ties in so well with what you teach in the brain program, and kind of like with what Drina was talking about. Those beliefs then start creating these neural pathways in your brain. And it's like a car that gets stuck in a rut and it dusts it out. So there are exercises you can do, such as in your Inspired Health Vision System, along with your Transforming Stress System, that you have to keep repeating what your belief is. I'm not going to say limiting belief because that limits you already. I am going to create a belief, a decision. I'm going to create a new decision, and I'm going to repeat this new decision until I create a new neural pathway.
Yeah, I love that. And the other piece about that is also that when we create these, it's like a shortcut. Because when you're in the brain, like the way the brain works is this neuron connects to this neuron, connects to this neuron, and it's this whole sequence before you get the conscious thought or the movement or whatever. But when we repeat things, or when something has some trauma to it, or when it's repeated over and over, the brain actually creates a shortcut. So, for example, like say when you were 5, you saw this big fluffy dog and it was so cute, and you went up to pet the dog and the dog bit you. That creates a pattern in your brain. Dogs are dangerous. And so then every time you see a dog after that, you're scared, you cry. As an adult, it sends you into the sympathetic, blah, 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 blah. I don't like dogs. I don't want to be around dogs. And it creates this fear. You may feel your heart rate go because there's a shortcut loop. Dog danger, right? And there's ways to reprogram that with, you know, little bits of getting a little puppy and petting it. And then, you know, you have to reprogram that to get away from that fear, because we all have some crazy fears. Right? We all have some crazy fears. It's like, why are you afraid of that? But yeah, it's cool. I'm excited and I can't wait. This is a perfect time for us to go because we're in the Outlook month, and I'll be able to come back and share, you know, some really cool extra hacks and hopefully get a chance to edit the pages when I'm creating the presentation and get some new tips and tricks, because we're always learning. We always should be learning. And I don't, you know, I went to this thing with this epigenetics. I was really impressed with this guy and some of the genes he pulled out that made me go, wow, he's really done his research, and he's all connecting it back to diet and lifestyle. He's not saying, take this supplement. He's connecting it all back to diet and lifestyle. And so one of the things he said was, I didn't know this about the GAD gene. And who has looked at their genes and know they already have it? Generalized anxiety disorder. Me. I have like more than probably all of you. I have about 8 of them. And it turns out GAD genes make you carbohydrate intolerant, not just gluten intolerant, but grain intolerant, right? And there's a list of foods. It was grain and soy and MSG, anything that has high levels of glutamate in it that doesn't get converted to GABA, that you're intolerant of it. He just told the story of this person. She was on a gluten-free diet and all this other stuff, and she was doing well. And he took her off the grains and dairy. It was grains, dairy, soy, MSG, and there were one or two others that, oh my God, once she got off of that, her health soared. So she'd been plateaued. Yeah, when she went gluten-free, she got a little bit better. She got a lot better. But she never went all the way. I'll share a lot of this stuff. I actually signed up for his course. So I'm doing an epigenetics, 100-hour epigenetics certification course with this guy. And You know, I don't, you know, I'm totally open to that. I'll know 75% of what he's teaching. That's fine. I'll just reinforce it. But that 25% can make a huge difference in how I can help you. So I'm planning to get through as much of it as I can before our nutrigenomics call, so I can just like really hone in and help you guys. So he has 6 hours or 8 hours of sleep epigenetics. Like, wow, I only know like a quarter of that maybe. So I'm excited. And epigenetics is one of these subjects that just keeps changing, right? It's like, it's not like we know the biology and I know the anatomy. That doesn't change, right? Unless we hit a nuclear war and everybody, like the new biology may be different than the old biology. But that the genetics, like the knowledge we have about the genetics is just, it's expanding constantly. So that was like the big aha moment for being on that call. I was like, wow, GAD, and I have all those GADs. And my son has a lot of GADs, but he refuses to go. And he has gluten, and, you know, his tendency to gluten intolerance and all that. He refuses to go off of them. So anyway, Diana said, looking at the genetic stuff, and now one test we are waiting on, it's a genetic test. Okay, so this, the other reason I signed up for this is he has his own test. So he has his own test, which covers all the stuff that 23andMe explained to me, that the 23andMe took away. Like they have these levels, V5, V6, whatever, the versions. And the latest version took out all those SNPs. He didn't like that because he was just running his, he has a beautiful report, which I'll let you know about that when I see it. But he was frustrated that people are running the 23andMe through it now and not seeing, you know, a whole big bunch of the stuff. So his test is, it's actually less than 23andMe. I think it's like $149. And I don't know if it's available to the public or if you have to be one of his, you know, in his program to get it. So I'll find out all of that and we'll let you guys know. And if for me, I'll just run it again. I have the old version. I have the version. So I don't have to rerun my genetics, but I'm going to run mine through the report. So anyway, I'm excited.
I was just noticing that from the last call we had as a group, Karen wasn't able to get her some tests and things looked at. It's on the spreadsheet. And Janet's nodding her head, so she must have said something in their group call.
So I could look at that without her here, but then limiting when I look at a test without a person.
Well, and she's not here because she's finishing up with Claudia's class.
So where is it?
It's in her Master Health Tracker.
I don't see it in this form. It doesn't look like
in the last call she talked about, I know I had seen it on that RSVP.
Form. Yeah, but I don't see that on the, that's what I'm saying. Oh, maybe this is a separate one. I don't know. All right, let me look her up. Karen, M-A-R-I-O-N. I have to look here. Get rid of that. Karen Marion, here we go. All right. And it was, which test was it?
So she said she has some new tests in her Master Health Tracker. It's her, the last labs she had done. I'm assuming it's when she was here in the States.
Oh, I see.
They are also in the, what used to be called the Blood Chem Software Report. Okay. But she said the Master Health Tracker may have more history, you know, like you can see across.
Okay, I'll open both right now and just see menstrual tracker, medical records, recording, supplements. Maybe it's medical records and reports. All right, blood chemistry probably. I don't see the, if you can find it for me, I don't see her blood chem report. All right, I'll look at her master tracker and we'll do some stuff with this. All right, So, findings. Lab results. All right. So, I'm assuming because she wanted me to read these on the call that she's okay with me sharing. So, Karen, that's the only way I can really do this so that you can see what I'm looking at. So I'm going to share. Nope, that's not it. It's this one. All right. So I'll do a quick look through. Where is it? Where'd it go? Huh. Disappeared. There we go. All right. You guys see my screen? So she had her latest test done in February. Blood urea nitrogen went down from back in 16. That often indicates that there's some inability to digest protein or low stomach acid, stuff like that. Her carbon dioxide is high, and high carbon dioxide is oftentimes related to respiratory distress, like somebody who's in a hyper state, like in a hyperadrenal state and does a lot of shallow breathing, and you're not expelling all the carbon dioxide from the blood, and alkalosis, which is very unusual. Usually we see people in acidosis, which would be a low level there. So I'd be looking at the breathing and looking at the stress, and definitely indicates some hyperadrenal. Alkaline phosphatase is high, whereas before it's low. When it's high, it can indicate some liver stress, but also like a leaky gut or vitamin C deficiency. So I would say you want to look at that, like what's going on in your gut. I don't know if she's done any tests on her gut, but that would be something to look at. And your cholesterol went up. So I would be looking at what is going on there. But the numbers, the ratios look really good because your HDL is 97. So that's probably why it went up, because your HDL went up by 12 points and it went up by about the same, you know. So not so concerned with that because these numbers, but if you are concerned about that, I would look at maybe a lipid panel if you have any history of heart disease or anything. But the ratio of triglycerides to HDL is awesome. So it's a good indicator of good blood sugar control.
I know that Janet is her.
Yeah, Janet, if you have anything to pitch in, sure. Yeah, the thyroid looks good, but I see she's never gotten a full thyroid panel. She's never gotten antibodies, but it looks good. Right. So there's no reason for me to suspect, except that she did it in January and then February and it jumped that much. It changed that much. I definitely think she needs to get antibodies checked, for sure needs antibodies, because to have that kind of a change from January to February, same year, that indicates that there's maybe some antibody activity and it's up and down, because that's what we see a lot with that.
And I think he just came on.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was thinking you must be talking about me.
We're just talking about you. Yep.
We're talking about you. Yes. Okay. So my concern here, Karen, is that your January labs and your February labs are so dramatically different in TSH that you've never had antibodies tested, and there may be some antibody activity going on. So I would get thyroid antibodies, and also, you know, I would just do another test, another full thyroid, to see the TSH, total T4, free T3, free T4, and antibodies. And that will give us an indication of what the full status is at that point in time. But the antibodies are critical. If nothing else, just get the antibodies.
And you're not showing her Master Health Tracker, just so you know. We're not seeing it.
You're not seeing it? I showed it.
No, we're looking at the spreadsheet with the question submission.
Oh, okay. New share. Sorry. That's why I asked at the beginning, because it's...
I had attempted to get the outstanding thyroid tests when I was last in the U.S., and I don't know. That must not have been the standard, whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't. So we really do need those antibodies, because my concern, were these both done at the same lab? Was one done in
One was done, partly two things were done here, and then the three or whatever they were done in the U.S. So no, not the same lab. And
the January ones were done in?
Here in the Netherlands.
Okay.
February in the U.S.
It could be related to the lab. Sometime, okay. You know, or, but that's a big change. That's a big change.
Did I miss anything significant before you were talking about that?
No. Okay. The only thing, and you can watch the recording, but the only
I will.
With the cholesterol, you know, it went up, but it went up because your HDLs went up, and your HDL triglyceride ratio is awesome. Your HDL LDL ratio is awesome. So it may not be a problem. If you have a family history of heart disease and you're concerned, you might want to consider an advanced lipid panel to check it out. But there is some, you know, I'm thinking it may not be liver, because all your other liver enzymes, let me see what we have here. All your other liver enzymes are perfect, like really low and perfect, but the alkaphos is high. So I'm thinking it may not be related. It may be gut related. May very well be gut, because, you know, it's not outside the lab range, but it jumped up a lot, 83 to 119. So it may be something going on with your gut.
Leaky. Well, there are definitely things relating to my gut, but I can't really describe what they are.
Okay. Well, all right. So I would look at, go into the gut program, the GRAM program.
I have done it already. I have, and this is part of the reason why one of the questions that I had for various people before was, I came out with stomach issues. So I'm taking HCL. I scored low on pancreatic enzymes. I also came up with, because of prior antibiotic use, the need to do the candida cleanse. Plus, I had last year parasites, and so scored highly on those two things. And in terms of order of events, I already did the HDL. I wasn't really sure what to do for pancreatic enzymes. I don't remember. But I needed to do the candida cleanse next. But I wasn't having appropriate elimination per the, and I still am not, I still don't know what to do there, because I don't know how else to change anything, to be quite frank. And so anyway, that was part of the reason for not already starting the candida cleanse. Plus, I was traveling and I did not have 26 days or however many it was.
So you haven't done the candida cleanse yet?
No, I have not. Okay.
Have you done the leaky gut protocol yet?
I don't believe I have, because for some reason I thought that had to follow the candida cleanse.
You can do them simultaneously unless your candida score is way up. You start the candida cleanse and then do the leaky gut. Okay. But either way, I think you need to do those. And if you're having an elimination, as in constipation, is that what you mean by elimination?
Apparently so, because I don't follow the rules. It's not consistent every day, and I don't have 2 to 3 large bowel movements per day.
Okay. So that would cause recycling of toxins and all that. So you want to get that moving, and we want to look at why. If you do have thyroid antibodies and, you know, an occult thyroid problem, that could be related. It could be liver. We just said liver was potentially a problem, although your enzymes are not bad, but, you know, it's possibly. Is it a dry constipation? Like, is your stool like really hard, marbly dry?
No. They're all appropriate consistency, but it's just not the volume or the quantity.
Okay, and do you feel like you're not eliminating completely? Do you feel like, oh man, this is...
No, honestly, absolutely rarely.
Okay, so we always have to find our own pattern. And the 2 to 3 bowel movements, if you're having 2 to 3 good-sized meals, you know, appropriate-sized meals, or normal-sized meals, then you should. But if you're having one good, are you having one good bowel movement a day?
Yes, I am. And sometimes a few other not good ones, but I'm meaning not large ones.
But now what kind of meal? Maybe you're eating like one big meal and then other smaller meals.
It really, I'm sorry to say that I'm not consistent. And part of it just depends on too many things like feeling well, because I've been quite ill in the last days. But generally, I have tons of vegetables and have at least a quart, if not, of green smoothie, many, many others. I did recently figure out by going through the last part of the brain program that until very recently, I was doing too many omega-6 as compared to omega-3. So I flipped that ratio. But anyway, so that was mainly, that's the main dietary issue that was pretty consistent. And just prior to that, and this may not even be worth talking about, but I was really, really, really good for a very long time with no gluten, no dairy, no whatever. And I, when I had guests and then traveled to the U.S., I periodically had gluten, and I periodically had really good cheese. Not a lot, but it was just enough.
Doesn't
to
take
trigger.
A lot. Yeah, just enough yes. to trigger it. Yep. Doesn't yes. take a lot. So, you know, I would commit to 6 months.
I already have. Okay. I started it on Friday, and I've already seen significant reactions positively. Like good. Significant, almost to the point that they need to be noted somewhere, because it's the same kind of thing as described in movies. But anyway, so that is not a problem whatsoever to commit to. It's really more the more pervasive issue was the 3 and 6 omega-3 and 6 that I've reversed.
Yeah.
And I don't know of any other major kind of fundamental dietary issue, so to speak, that I have heretofore been unaware of.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're eating well, except for when you traveled. So here I would look at it would be like, okay, that was a real learning experience, and hell, I don't want to do that again. And yes. I'm going to commit to this because it didn't feel good, right? So that's right. A good thing. But if you showed up high on your candida score and you showed up high on your leaky gut score, then I would say those are the next things to do. Like,
okay.
And if your candida score was like over the top horrific, then definitely work on the candida first and do that. You can just give it a 2-3 week head start or just do it for that process and then do the leaky gut.
And I was going to say, I don't remember how over the top horrific it was. But anyway.
Okay, we'll look back, you know. And do you have or do you have it in here? I think
you do. I did do one not that long ago, and I don't know where. Okay.
This is a great way to know this, right? Is I don't know where this line is coming from. I accidentally must have hit right. But see this? If you just write these in every time you do them, it takes like 5-10 minutes to just take the numbers and pop them in. And then you get to see what's going, what's better, what's not better. Right.
So yes. Right.
Date. Same way in the lab chart, they turn green. They turn. Actually, it's 5 different colors instead of 3. It's green, which is great. You know, blue is still a borderline. Something's happening. Yellow is starting to get to be a warning. Orange and red. Like orange is bad. Red is horrific. So if you have any red things, and especially if you have anything out of balance in the gut, that's where you really need to be starting. So even if like the hormone stuff is worse than the gut. If the gut's out of balance, then you got to get the gut healed or none of that other stuff you're going to do is worth it, right? So do it, put the numbers in and track them. And that's a way to see it, you see? So if you've done them recently, do it. But go back to, you know, a year ago or 6 months ago or whenever the last time you did it was. I think you probably did it.
I did it really, you know, a month ago. That's it.
But then I think you did it earlier. I think you did it right at the start.
Yeah, I also did it. I've done it multiple times.
All right. Just go back at least to the one that you did at the beginning of the program and then the one that you did a month ago. And let's see what, because that's the most recent stuff. And the most recent stuff is really what you're going to work on.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep, it does.
And you know, the reason I do these charts, people say, oh, there's a lot of work. I want to provide you with the ability to move forward in your life without having to, you know, just stay with us and work on this. I want you to be able to just go, you know what, something's up. Okay, I'm going to take these assessments again, or just take them every year and go, you know what, I'm getting a little off track with this stomach acid thing or with this, you know, adrenal thing or whatever. And then you have the tools, you have all the access to the website to go, you know what, I'm just going to go back through and refresh myself on the adrenal program or the brain program or whatever, and just move myself along. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know, it absolutely does. And I swore I had this partly filled in, at least in a prior version of this Master Health Tracker. I have had some versioning issues, so this is just this is another one that I'm noting.
Unfortunately don't have these computerized, so that if we make changes, we improve them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, because people have it; they have their individual versions. But what we're working on, and that should get started soon, we're developing an app, and the app will allow you to fill in the program, the scorecard. Yeah. And then keep track of them for you. So if we add a new question, you automatically get the new question and you don't have to have your own. You know, I don't know how long
that would be really good.
You know how developers are. They tell you, oh yeah, we can have it done in a month, you know, and 6 months later. So I'm going to anticipate it's probably going to be a few months, even though they say it'll be one or two. But we're starting to work on that soon. Probably next week we'll get them started working on that.
Well, that sounds very good.
Yeah, but we've jerry-rigged these up without a programmer, without, mm-hmm. you know, because getting to do all this into a program, and we were able to find somebody through a referral that they're willing to do it at a reasonable investment. So we're we had one guy came back with a $50,000, like, oh yeah, I could do all that for you for $50,000. I'm like, well, that would be great, but I don't have $50,000 to spend on this.
We won't be doing that.
I'm not going to be doing that. So anyway, so it's also an ability on that app to communicate. So there's a chat feature, and there's other things on there that I think are really cool. So,
and well, that sounds great. And by the way, my last candida was orange.
It was orange. Okay, so 40, it's up there. 44%. It's up there. I would do the candida cleanse before the leaky gut. Now, the other thing I would look at, for any of you who are considering doing the candida, no, the leaky gut piece, that one of the supplements in there contains glutamine. And some people do
anything
on glutamine, but look at your gut, look at your genetics and see if you have the GAD.
Well, I can tell you whether GAD, I do or not.
Because that might, not necessarily, but it means go slow with glutamine, start a little bit. If you start to take glutamine and you get anxious, I had somebody who she had worked with a functional doctor, and they were trying to work on leaky gut, and they told her to take like 3 grams of glutamine a day, which isn't, you know, it's a reasonable dose, but she started to feel like she wanted to kill somebody. She felt anxious and she was, you know. And he said, oh, you're just not taking enough. And he had her up it. And he had like 9 grams a day. And finally she said, I can't do this anymore. And she quit. And we looked at her genes, and she, sure enough, she can't take glutamine. Her glutamine is getting converted to glutamate, which is excitatory. And she had the GAD SNP, which wasn't allowing the glutamate to get converted to GABA. And so she was in a constant state of anxiety, and, you know, and we don't want that. So if you have the GAD.
I have the GAD heterozygous.
Heterozygous? So, how many of them are heterozygous?
Only one.
Only one?
Sorry. I have only one GAD.
Only one GAD is showing, or only one GAD is abnormal?
Is showing as heterozygous. On the
report. The rest of them GAD? Are there other GADs that are showing as normal green?
That I don't know. I didn't copy that forward. I'm looking at a little summary that I did.
Oh, from a summary that you did. Report. Yeah, and the summaries usually. Because if the lab didn't test for, there's several. So if you just tested one, it's possible that there are others that are. So that's all I would say. So if you just have one, go slow with the glutamine part. You probably can be okay, but just go slow with it. And really tune in. Like I was saying, you were missed the earlier part of the call, but I was saying to somebody, maybe it was on an earlier call, private call, but I was saying that just really note when you're going to make a diet, this is true for everybody, when you're going to make a diet or supplement change, I want you to sit down the day before you make that change and write down like your score for yourself on, you know, symptoms. So on a 0 to 10 scale, how anxious do I feel? How bloated do I feel? How, you know, any symptoms that you would have, but just like your mood and your bowel movements, and just make a note of it, right? And be able to go back and then start really slowly when you add stuff, especially if you're sensitive. Most people in this group are kind of sensitive to things when you add them. So go slowly and add them a little bit and just keep tuning in. How am I feeling? How am I feeling? How am I feeling? Right? And you'll know, because if you slowly get worse or better for that matter, I was telling Paula earlier, I said that it's like the story, I don't know if some of you heard it, but about the boiling water and the frog. If you take boiled water and you drop a frog in, it jumps right out, right? But if you put the frog in the water and you slowly heat it, it just gets used to it, and it dies.
Oh dear.
Right? And that happens with us with our symptoms, right? It may be getting better, but we don't recognize that it's getting better because it's just this little gradual thing until you look back at your notes, maybe getting worse, but you don't realize it until it gets really bad, until you look at your notes. So always take stock of what your symptoms are and how you're feeling before you start new supplements or dietary changes. Okay. And that goes for Barbara, who was on earlier, who we talked about some changes as well. So going back to your labs, those are the main things that I saw. Let me see. I didn't get all the way down, so I'm just going to go back to this. Yes, so looking at your CBC, your white cells look good, your red cells look good. Hemoglobin is a little bit on the low side. And we'll just look back at your iron. I don't remember seeing a problem with iron, but it may
there be. Between the different reports, I'm not quite understanding why they show different results. But when I plugged the iron number into the Master Health Tracker, it came out orange. The total iron score or whatever.
Because you didn't plug it in for, like in January, it looked great.
Yeah. And at the moment I don't have.
Up from last year. So look at that. Right. So here's the thing. If your iron is normal, if it shows up green, you know, if it's in this range, you can see it here, 85 to 130, right? If that shows up normal and your hemoglobin here is low, I always suspect a B6 deficiency. And you and I have talked about B6 deficiencies a lot because it's come up in different places.
Yes, because I have the blood level B12 is outrageously high. And you had said previously that it is likely it's not being properly assimilated. I have never gotten any feedback but any idea of what to do about that. I don't supplement with B6. It's just not. And I think you said one time that B12 was an issue.
Yeah,
but B12 is testing okay, at least
well,
I B12 thought.
B12 is testing okay as a blood level again, yeah. Right? But the blood levels don't really matter much with those, right?
Right. Yes, you're right. I forgot about that.
So in the Dutch test, and I don't know if there's a way to get just those, the Dutch test
and the sound is not coming out very well.
Is anybody else having trouble with sound?
Okay. Oh, now it's better. It's better. It's better.
Okay. So on the oat test and also the Dutch test, they test two metabolic markers for the status of B12 and B6. For B12, okay. I know you can get methylmalonic acid to see what that is. But in B6, it's like, do I still have Barbara's up here? I'll show you. It's this marker. Here. It's called, xanthinate and chironate. Now, they test these on Dutch test and also on the oat test. Mm-hmm. right? And so you can look at that to see, and the oat test has a lot of others. So depending on whether you want to look at your hormones or look at your whole organic acid thing, the oat test or the Dutch test work really well for that. I don't know if there's a lab that just tests these in the urine.
Oh, I already have the oat test. I was supposed to do it the last time I was in the US, but I kept missing the stupid things you were supposed to eliminate 48 hours before. And then I had snow issues where I couldn't get to a FedEx. I mean, you just name it. It wasn't going to happen the last time.
It wasn't meant to be. So.
No, but I will do it in April.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, good. There you are again, right? Is this it? No, where am I? I have to go back. So many, you could see all my tabs open. All right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I would look at that because that's usually what the case is. You have consistently, right? No matter what you're, it's consistently low. Now that could be, you know, it's oftentimes a low iron, but your iron wasn't low all those times. Like it was 80, 120 or 100 or something like that. Yeah. 100 back in January. You didn't put it in for February. It may not have been done, but
I don't think it was done.
Yeah. I think that's something to look at. Hematocrit is decent. MCV is good. RBC, where's that? Okay. And your mean corpuscular volume is a little on the high side, which makes me suspect good old B12. It could be folate, but I doubt it. You eat so much vegetation and, you know, you do have, I don't think you had a homozygous MTHFR, as I recall.
No, I did. I had nothing.
You had nothing. So it's not going to be folate. It's for sure not going to be folate.
MTRR.
Yeah, MTRR is B12, right? So if your B12 in your blood is high, it's usually because it's not getting converted and not being put into the tissues.
Right.
Right.
You know, one time you had suggested a B12 patch at a certain or something at a certain level. I could never find it.
The only place I know of that still has them is Raw Food World. There may be other places, but Raw Food World, I don't know if they deliver to Europe.
Okay.
But the also Seeking Health Liposomal and through Dr. Supplement Store, I know they do deliver to internationally. So you could probably just get the Liposomal B12 drops and then just start slow and build it up. Do you remember if you had any COMT homozygous?
Yes, I do. And the only adenosyl or however you say it, cobalamin that I can find is Seeking Health with those horrid lozenges.
Oh.
And so that was.
Okay, so you know who has it? You're in Europe. You should be able to get it real easily. Is Metabolics, is it called, Lynn? Barbara may know too because she's over there. But they have liquids in all your bees.
Oh, so wow.
They have a great, so it's Metabolics, I think.
Hmm.
So I would go there. And then.
What is the right dosage then for B12?
Well, it depends on the type. So the Metabolics, I would start small and then work your way up. The liquids, that's why I love liquids. Start with one drop. See how you feel. Start with two drops. You know, and it could be depending. You're not at a major, majorly high level here. So I would just go slow. You may only need a couple of drops.
This might be kind of a dumb question. I think it might go back to your anxiety analogy, but I still have a bottle of Seeking Health Liposomal, the methyl B12, whatever the methyl blah, blah, cobalamin.
Yeah.
Is that one okay to use some of?
A little tiny bit with a COMT, right? A little tiny bit. Usually I start people with an adenosyl or hydroxy at the beginning just to get it in there. And then we do a drop and we see how you feel.
Okay. Well, I could combine them obviously with the lozenges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. And then neutrophils are slightly high. Monocytes. Did you have any kind of cold, flu, anything like that within a few weeks of this?
This one that I have now may have been brewing for some time. This is what I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just a slightly off. It would be something that we would just watch for because usually the monocytes are going to be high. Now the monocytes could be high if you have an autoimmune thing brewing, which goes back to getting those thyroid antibodies.
Okay.
Okay. And the basophils, you know, they're usually parasites. So I think doing that candida parasite cleanse is going to be helpful. And if that doesn't help, right, then it's time to do a stool test.
Well, I did just in January, I had a number of stool tests done, and they I manually listed them in the Master Health Tracker at the bottom. And for whatever the names are, and they all came back negative. And the reason I had them tested was because I had had, for sure, parasites last year, last February, so a year ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it just depends what the, I would do the little thing anyway, the little candida cleanse. It may just take, may not have gotten the eggs, and there may be something brewing. A lot of labs, if it's a conventional lab, right, they're not specializing in that. So like if you go to Quest or you go to LabCorp and you do a parasite cleanse, I don't really trust them. I just don't see that I get some great stuff from them.
Okay.
So we'll just see. I would just go through all those protocols, go through the candida, go through the leaky gut, and then we'll go from there. Okay.
Okay.
Great. And I'm glad Janet's on because she can track of this.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Glad I joined at almost like
time. Glad you came. We were about to end. And Krishna came right at the end too. So if you have a question, Krishna, I see your hand up for it. And we can answer the question. And then we do have to end by two. So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Krishna, are you open? Hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How long have I got? Have I got to speak quick?
Yeah, speak quick. We got about 8 minutes.
Well, I've nearly finished the hormones that you told me to take. And I don't know if it's anything to do with the hormones or anything else.
It says, remind me the what? The pregnenolone and DHEA, right?
Yeah, and the Estadapt. Yeah.
The Estadapt, okay.
I'm feeling absolutely dreadful. I had to
What does that mean?
Oh, my head is so heavy. My eyes are hot and heavy. I feel like there's an alien inside me just that weighs a ton. Every step is just really difficult. I just don't feel well. I went to my chiropractor because I had the accident where I fell and smashed my shoulder. So I went to the chiropractor. He also did he's a functional nutritionist. He said I have three infections, including a strep mutant and two MRSA, he thinks. Anyway, so he's given me a tincture. But my question is, when I finish these hormones, which I nearly have, should I be taking more?
So here's what if I find myself, you in a situation. So first of all, your mother died, you had the funeral, you traveled, et cetera, et cetera. Second of all, you had an accident and you smashed your shoulder. Feeling dreadful can be related to the accumulation of that, the stress, the physical stress, the psychological stress of all that. But it usually when you start a new supplement and you start to feel miserable, I say stop it. And then go be off of it for 3, 4, 5 days, see if you get better. And then if you're not sure, you go back on it. So if you still have some left, I would stop. Just stop.
I was thinking that, and then I wasn't sure how much you can mess about with hormones, but that was my instinctive reaction.
Yeah. Follow your instinct, because that's a good thing. And then just let them go for a week and see, does all that dreadfulness go away? Right now, it could be because you're getting care for your shoulder. It could be because you're taking this tincture. But then you try it again, like we do the scientific method. And then you go back on the same dose you were on before. And if all that dreadfulness comes back, then you know it was something related to the hormones.
Yes.
Make sense? Okay. If it doesn't, then you know it was something else.
Okay. Good idea.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a lot of stress to go through. Like your mom was sick, you know, and then you traveled all the way over there. You were out of your own habits, and then you come back, and then you smash your shoulder. That's a lot of stress on our bodies, and we think we're invincible, right? We should be able to, but that's a lot of stress, and it's going to make you feel bad, right? There's cortisol going up, and maybe having taking those hormones are helping you to make more of that cortisol, but you were already making tons of it. Mm-hmm. And the DHA you were taking, the pregnenolone you were taking, was going down the path to more cortisol, which was, you know, throwing you off. So that's some of the stuff. But we always have to, we can't just, there's no absolutes, right? In medicine, it's like, here's the symptom, here's the disease, here's the drug. And I go, wow, that didn't work. I wonder why. Let's try a different drug. But what we're looking at is what's out of balance in your body and how do we bring it back in balance, right? So clues, I call them clues. When the body has specific symptoms that pop up, they're clues. They're like telling you something. They're a message that either you're taking too much of something, too little of something. There's a high level of stress. There's an environmental exposure. And we just have to figure it out, right? So trust your body and your instincts. If you start to feel crappy, then you look at, what did I change over the last week?
Crappy, that's a good word. Okay.
Thank you. All right, you're welcome. Anybody else real quick? We have a couple more minutes. Anybody else want to share anything or ask anything? Yeah, Lynn Rose says, agreed with me, parasite testing is not reliable. But I like the stool test, the one from Doctor's Data, because it gives you more than parasite testing. It gives you your regular normal flora. It gives you abnormal bugs, but it also gives you some functional tests of how the gut's going. It tells you how your pancreatic enzymes are going. Is there inflammation, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Anything else real quick? Any like 2 minute questions? No, we're good. All right, guys. Thank you for hanging in there so long. We've been on almost 2 hours. I appreciate all the questions. I think everybody learned, a little bit from each other's questions and comments. You stayed on, so that's great. I'm looking at some other things. Stress is a killer. Absolutely. Stress is the biggest cause. And it's all kinds of stress. Yes. Bye, Lynn. Bye, Diana. Let's see. Legal problems with patches he sells until they're gone. Oh, is that what happened? Okay. All right. Everybody's saying have to go. So yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah. Dr. Ina Marie, may I ask you, which supplier did you just mention for the good stool test?
Doctor's Data.
Oh, Doctor's Data. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear part of that.
Yeah, Doctor's Data. It's on my site if you go to the lab testing
page. Yes. Absolutely. I thought you said Dr. Z.
Oh, no. Doctor's Data. And then for the supplements, I said Dr. Supplement Store. And we've been putting the link to the Dr. Supplement Store in your...
In the weekly. Yes. That's very good.
I don't remember it. I never remember it. But okay, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to unmute everybody. Excellent. Hear your voices. Thank you so much. Oh, okay. There you are. No, Debbie's not unmuted. So some of you, you have to unmute yourself. Interesting. I didn't unmute all and some of you are still muted. So thank you everybody so much. Thank you for your cooperation. Thank you for your support of each other. I think it's great to have that community support. And thank you to the coaches, Janet and Valerie and Susan for being here and for staying through for so long. So bye-bye, everybody. Much love.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you.